Hello, my name is Brent Dundor. I'm a full-time commercial photographer, artist, and activist, and the proud producer of the They Them Project. They Them Project interviews non-binary individuals, offering a platform for them to be seen and heard while informing and educating everyone on how words and actions affect the trans plus community.
Hi, my name is Brent, and I use he, him, his pronouns.
Hi, my name is Merritt. I use they, them pronouns.
Thank you so much for being here, Merritt, and for sharing your pronouns with me.
Sure, thank you.
So to start out, I actually want to find out if you have any questions for me.
Sure, yeah. I was wondering what in your life led you to start this project. I was wondering if it was like social or academic, or maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, anytime that someone asks me to give that explanation, I always say there's a really long version.
Yeah.
And I've learned to give the short one. You can, like, anyone that's listening to this can actually listen to the long version through another podcast and interviews through the website.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I knew I needed to challenge and educate myself on gender. There was a time when I first heard that there were people who wanted to, that there are people who use they, them pronouns. I didn't even know what that was. But then when someone explained it to me, I said, no, people are what they are. They are who they know they are, but you are either a guy or a girl. Mm-hmm. And that was my attitude towards it at the beginning. And, my husband challenged me on that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you've had your own experience, and challenges throughout your life. Who are you to say that someone is or is not what they are saying they are?
Sure.
And I just, at that moment, I knew I had to change that about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it started out as a photo project because I'm a photographer. And it grew into this thing where I was asking people questions that were coming in for photos. And I said, oh, these questions that I'm asking are the questions everyone else wants to hear,
mm-hmm.
and the answers that everyone needs to hear.
Sure.
So that's where it all started. And then we were having coffee before I hit record on this, and
sure.
we were talking about ways that it's grown. And it keeps growing too. So do you have any other questions before I ask questions?
I'm sure I'll have more.
Cool.
Later.
You said that you use they, them pronouns.
Yes.
Are there any other pronouns that you use?
No.
Okay, so using they, them pronouns is what I should use today.
Yes,
okay.
Correct.
Would there ever be a time that you would be upset if someone asked you what pronouns you use?
Never. I would never be mad about that.
Has there ever been a time that you have thought about using other pronouns?
No. I started with, well, she, her. My body is female, and so I just went with whatever society tells you to go with for a really long time, but it never really felt right. And then in 2016, it really was very quick, the turnaround. I wasn't thinking about it for a long time, and I hadn't even heard of it until 2016. But it made a lot of sense, and I just switched, and nothing else has ever occurred to me except for they, them pronouns. I don't think I will change, but who knows? Never say never.
Tell me a little bit more detail on your journey to using they, them pronouns. Like, when was the first time you ever thought about gender?
I grew up in a really, I don't want to say rural, that's not the right word, but definitely suburbs in Minnesota, small town, almost entirely white, almost entirely straight. I knew one gay person at my high school, and it was really hard for him. And so there wasn't a lot of encouragement to explore or wonder. And I remember our first family computer, the only website I knew was Wikipedia. And so I would just hang out on Wikipedia for fun and go down the rabbit hole. And I remember learning about Eddie Izzard. And that was the first time I had really ever learned that anybody might question how people perceive their bodies. And of course, at that time, and I think this was in, like, I don't know, 2004, 2005 or something, even then, they were still using transvestite as the language on the internet. So that was the first time I had ever really thought about gender as an optional way to present yourself and be perceived. But I hadn't heard of anybody using they, them as a pronoun. And I also didn't really understand the concept of being transgender at the time for a really long time until I had a really intense friendship with somebody. And they told me they wanted to maybe consider using they, them pronouns. And even then at the time, I was not ready to hear that information, I don't think. Nothing had prepared me for that. I knew one transgender person, and even that was at the time a lot for me to wrap my head around, but I finally understood it. I was like, okay, you use he, him pronouns. You identify as a man. I get it. You're in the binary. So I understand what's going on. But then when my friend told me they wanted to use they, them pronouns, I think it just like went way over my head because I don't remember that being planted in my brain as information at all. I don't remember receiving that information and hearing it or understanding it. I just said, okay, and then continued to use the wrong pronouns with them for months. And then our friendship fell apart for a lot of reasons, but I think that was one of them just because I never followed up and I never did any research. I never asked. I never, our friendship fell apart and I was really devastated. And then I remembered that conversation and then I started doing research because I was like, that must have meant something because it felt like it meant something at the time. I just didn't do anything, any work about it. And this was also at the time that I was having a really changeful several months, almost a year. It was a really hard year for me, 2015. And then I did more research and it really didn't take much time after that. Once I kind of learned that really, honestly, it's like, if you don't identify with the binary, you might consider using they, them pronouns. And I was like, oh my God, I have never felt like a woman and I've never felt like a man. That has never been true for me. And so this really makes sense for me. And yeah, I thought about it for maybe 2 days and then I got a new job and decided this is a good opportunity to just tell people because I don't have to transition over. They're just new people in my life and they're going to do it. So yeah, that was probably 2004 Wikipedia page, Eddie Izzard was the first time I ever thought about gender.
It seems most people when I ask, when did it all start?
Mm-hmm. I think I will always be changing, but I don't know that I will be changing my pronouns. My pronouns are actually the least important part of my gender identity to me. So I don't think I'll change them just because I don't care to, and it's not as important to me to find one that really fits. I'm just kind of going with the best option for me, and that's they, them. But I do know my body will change. I recently started on testosterone injection, so I know my body will change. And with that, I'm sure my presentation will change too. I'll feel more comfortable presenting femininity than I am now with the body that I have. So there will be a lot that will change forever. I think I'm a very changeful person. I don't think that will ever change.
Can you tell me more of why you're doing testosterone?
Sure.
Tell me, explain to people who might not understand what that is, that is.
Sure. So I started testosterone injections 2 months ago and it's just kind of this oily solution that you draw into a syringe and inject into your thigh or wherever is most comfortable for you to inject. It's essentially boy puberty. It's essentially, that's how it's going to go. My voice will drop. I might have more facial hair or you know, some other things will change too. And I am going on it because I am a very feminine person. Femininity is very important to me, but it's hard for me to be perceived as a woman. It's hard for me to be perceived in the binary because that's not who I am. And it makes me very uncomfortable. And so I want to ride that middle space without, so currently I have to, since I have a feminine body and a feminine face and a feminine voice, I have to have, or I feel compelled to have masculine hair and masculine clothing and kind of, you know, walk hard and talk hard. And I don't like to do that. I'm very soft and very feminine in my personality and in my tastes and preferences. And I would love to express that in public. But it is hard when I know who people are seeing. And I feel that also crops up a lot in my relationship building. I have a really hard time with romance specifically. Because I play the guessing game. I wonder, who is it that you're seeing? You know, if a cisgender man approaches me with interest, in my head, I'm thinking, you see a woman and you're interested in a woman. And I feel uncomfortable engaging in that. Or, you know, if a cisgender woman whose self-identifier is lesbian, it's the same feeling. When they approach me with interest, I'm like, I don't doubt that you're interested in me. I just don't feel comfortable being perceived that way and then engaging with that and knowing that you're attracted to me because you see me as a woman. So it's difficult right now to build relationships, because I'm playing the guessing game constantly of who do you see? Who is it that you perceive me to be? So that's what I'm hoping testosterone will achieve, a little bit more, a level of comfort in my body, and in my presentation. So we'll see how it goes.
You brought up romance, and that actually, I've interviewed people in the project who are in relationships, and mm-hmm. we've talked a little bit about that, mm-hmm. but the idea of challenges there are when you meet people and you can tell they're interested. We have not talked about that in the project. And
sure.
The idea of physical appearance, whether it is what someone else is thinking, mm-hmm. but even more what you are thinking, mm-hmm. I'm constantly trying to give people perspective to,
sure.
if people can really make this personal and mm-hmm. less about like, I don't get it. Well, mm-hmm. if you put yourself mm-hmm. into
yeah.
your shoes,
yeah.
your shoes,
mm-hmm.
People can get it. I mean, if every single time that you meet someone where it's like, oh, they have interest in me, that you have to doubt something,
totally.
You have to question something.
Yeah.
That's even more challenging than just meeting a stranger just because you are going to talk to them for a job, for
yeah.
Just saying hello at a sure. bar or whatever.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I, it's exhausting after a while, just to hope that people see me the way I want to be seen. And it's gotten so twisted that actually a couple months ago, I was wearing, there are certain clothes I wear and certain postures I have and certain lights, you know, certain situations where I pass quotation mark, pass as a man. And, but I of course I can't hide my femininity most of the time. Like my affectations can be pretty feminine. And so a couple months ago I was just walking down the street and I had pink hair at the time. And it was one of those situations where I definitely looked more like a man than a woman. But I looked like a man with pink hair. And a guy, a man passed me and goes, "The fucking fags." And I was happy. I was happy because he clearly saw me as someone who was in that middle space. Do you know what I mean? He saw me as a man behaving femininely. And so even though I felt sick afterwards because it was a horrible feeling once it sunk in, for that half a second when he was calling me a fag, I felt happy because he saw me the way I wanted to be seen, even though, you know, to be fair, he hated what he was seeing. He saw me and recognized me. And it was awful. It gets so twisted up in my head, this guessing game that I'm constantly playing, that situations like that happen. And it's this kind of sickening mixture of, oh, wow, that was something. I presented myself the way that I am. But then it was also like, oh, extreme homophobia has now been directed towards me. And that makes me think of another. I always like to talk about the privilege that I've gained since coming out and since being presenting in a way that's more comfortable for me. I've gained a lot of privilege.
I saw on your Facebook, I always talk about the fact, things that I see on people's Facebook, because that mm-hmm. says a lot about them, especially sure. in terms of discovery
yeah.
through gender and everything
yeah,
else. And
yeah.
I saw on your Facebook, one of your recent posts was about
yeah.
not just inviting, demanding that your friends on Facebook
oh, yeah.
tell you, check you.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah. I need that. And especially, I mean, people who hold the same privilege that you do. There's actually this great website called the Safety Pin Box, where you can pay women of color to help you stop being racist. I love it. It's such a good model. Everyone should check it out. But
is it like safetypinbox.com?
Safetypinbox.com. I'm okay. sure if you just Google okay. search Safety okay. Pin Box, it'll come up. They send you activities that you can do. And, but I did, before I got in touch with who I am, I presented very femininely for like a couple years before realizing what was going on, because I was really trying hard to like go the other way and just be like fully feminine, fully female, she, her, you know, trying to fit in that box, because I thought that maybe that was the answer to the discomfort that I was feeling. And I suffered a lot. Being feminine, and all the violence that has ever been visited upon me was as in a feminine state. So I just want to say that, I mean, on a social level, it can be hard to use they, them pronouns, but I gained a ton of privilege in presenting more masculine. I am taken way more seriously, especially in the arts community in the Twin Cities. I have had a lot more success being masculine. I'm rewarded for my masculinity now. And again, the only times that I am ever feeling like I'm in danger are those moments when some half blind guy on the street thinks that I'm a man behaving femininely. I understand that it's the femininity that is the danger. So me, as someone who was born in a female body, I am rewarded for presenting more masculinely than my cisgender women counterparts are not similarly rewarded if they behave femininely. So I have noticed it a lot, and I want to be conscious of that. And I want to talk about it too. I don't think a lot of people talk about it, especially in the transgender community. This idea of what privileges do you hold now that you look different to people? When you pass as a man, you know, what power do you hold now? And on top of that too, my whiteness, of course, affords me tons of privilege, especially around gender. I have felt no resistance from coworkers who maybe are not, you know, coworkers and people in my life who are not in my social circle, who are not in the LGBTQ community. I've felt no resistance from them. And I sense this feeling in them that they think I'm just this quirky, you know, quirky, artsy white guy. You know, I feel like it's definitely my race affords me that privilege of being able to have colorful hair and tattoos and, like, you know, use they, them pronouns in the workplace, because it's seen as like quirky and artistic. It's seen as a part of my, almost a part of my personality more than a part of my soul. And I've, you know, I don't know that that's true for people of color. I don't know that that's true. I think it's seen more as a threat than it is for me. For me, it's, I don't know. I feel like I'm just talking out of my butt now, but
no, it's, it was only about halfway through this project mm-hmm. where I started to have a grasp on privilege and I could not be more thankful for what it is teaching me about that.
Yeah.
My husband happens to be Latino and I can see an idea. I can't say that I have experience and, but I have seen what privilege is, from being white or having darker skin and everything else, just from that perspective. But even the privilege that I have that allows me to do this project, and what I've learned with that, at least from the perspective for myself, is there then should be a certain level of responsibility as well.
Totally.
And that's where I'm trying to act on with this project now as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, we're basically answering a bunch of the questions that I usually ask.
Okay, yeah.
Cause one of the questions is how does race play into gender?
Sure.
But yeah. I mean, we've definitely answered that question.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'll go back to some questions for you here. How much responsibility do you think should be put on others to ask you your pronouns or for you to tell others your pronouns?
I sort of touched on this earlier when I was talking about the first time I had heard of they, them pronouns, that I was not able to take that information into my brain and keep it there. I think that's true for a lot of people. And I don't think that that's a fault. There are a lot of my coworkers, even at my day job, who told me that. They said, the first time you told me what your pronouns were, it went in one ear and out the other because no one had ever said that to me before. And for a lot of people, even, you might not even hear the word pronouns outside of first grade. You know what I mean? I hear it all the time. And a lot of the people in my immediate circle, of course, we hear it all the time because everywhere we go, that's the first thing you ask someone almost. But for many other folks, that's not a natural part of their life. So I don't know that it's a matter of responsibility or a matter of like duty to do it. I just think if you can bring it into your circles that aren't your immediate friends, that's awesome. That's how I feel about it. If I can take it into my workplace and maybe someone who has never heard of that before now has heard of it, that's cool. You know, I feel a little more relaxed about it. And I don't feel super upset about it if people don't ask me what my pronouns are. Usually I offer them just because it's easier. It's easier to just say it and get it out of the way than it is for me to wait around and hope that they figure it out or ask, you know?
So I use specific words. Sometimes that might challenge it. I mean, do you feel that that's your responsibility?
I do. I think, well, if I want people to use the right pronouns with me, it is my responsibility to tell them because how could they possibly guess? And I think that's true for everybody. How could I possibly guess what your pronouns are? You think you might be able to, but I don't know that you should. So if you are feeling like you're in a situation where you don't know someone's pronouns, it's probably better just to ask. I don't know that it's your responsibility, but it'll make things more comfortable, certainly.
Your name. Have you always gone by Merritt?
No, I have not.
How long have you been using Merritt as your name?
Almost a year.
Okay. And some people, you can tell me if you don't want to talk specifically about this, but some people refer to their name that they were given at birth as their birth name, their dead name. I want you to tell me about what Merritt represents to you, what it means to you, and whatever comfort level you have of talking about why you knew that Merritt was who you are.
My friend actually named me, which I loved. I was trying to come up with something different. My birth name was Margaret, and that's, I find, has a lot of very feminine connotations. And I always liked the sound of Margaret, the phonetics of it. I like the hard G and the R's and the T on the end. I like that, how it sounds a lot, but it's got the more feminine sound at the beginning. So I felt like just phonetically, Margaret really did represent who I am, but existing as a person in public is harder than just thinking about phonetics. And so I wanted to go with something more gender neutral to make it a little bit easier for people to exist with me. And I didn't want to go too far away from that because, again, I do like how it sounds. So my friend Elliot came up with that for me. He knew somebody named Merritt, and I just like that a lot. So Merritt to me just represents this new chapter of being public with my heart. You know what I mean? Now people get to participate with me in my self, self-identification. They get to participate, and I'm not alone thinking about phonetics. You know, they get to do it too. So that's what I like about coming up with a new name.
Do you have people in your life who still refer to you by your birth name?
I do.
So the reason that I ask these questions is, again, to give people perspective. I want people to have the chance to listen to people and try to put themselves into their shoes, because that's where things start to change.
Sure.
So tell me what you feel when someone uses your birth name. And maybe talk about an instance of when that happens.
The people who use my birth name use it in a way that specifically tells me they do not support me. There aren't many people in my life who call me Margaret anymore. My parents have been really good about it, and I'm so grateful for their support, especially my mother. And my brothers are doing it too, but my grandparents are. When they say it, they know who I am. I have told them, and I've come to them and said, here's how it is. Are we going to be cool? And they said, no, Margaret. The letter was much longer than that, but that's essentially what it was. So when I hear that from someone who I have told specifically, I'm going by Merritt now. I only hear opposition and disrespect. That's what it feels like to me. If someone slips up, I'm absolutely not angry about it. But when it's that intention behind it, it feels awful. It feels awful.
Would you say that your gender and your name are connected?
Yes.
Okay. If someone is having a hard time remembering, understanding, respecting your name or your pronouns, what suggestions do you have for them? If someone wants to learn those and wants to respect you.
One of the most effective things that I have found in explaining how to use they, them pronouns is getting past that singular. That's what trips people up the most. So I always just give them the example. If you see a scarf outside on a bench, you would say, oh, someone left their scarf here. I wonder if they will come back for it. For some reason, that has been my most successful example to give people, because there are three coworkers that I have, I can think of off the top of my head, who I said that to, and they have not gotten my pronouns wrong since.
Because I've heard the example of if you found a missing wallet.
Yes. Yeah,
you're not going to go up to a clerk at a store and say, this guy left their wallet. Or you don't know who they left their wallet. You don't know whose wallet it is.
And you wouldn't take the time to go, someone left his or her wallet here. Do you think he or she will come back for it?
Like,
it's way too much. And it's fine to do the singular. It's fine. Just relax. You know? Like, chill out. Just a scooch.
You talked about with your grandparents the challenge that exists with them using your pronouns and your name. Can you give an example of a time when someone validated your gender and how it made you feel?
There's a social conversation thing that people do where they'll be, you know, if I'm talking to you, Brent, and our friend Steve, we don't have a friend Steve, but for example, Steve comes up. Yeah, we'll find one after this is over. Steve comes up and I'm just riffing on Steve, right? And I go, oh, he's over here with his purple shoes and is this, that. And then we're all laughing together because we're all, you know, we've invited Steve into the conversation now because we're riffing on him and inviting him and telling him that we notice him and he's here. there have been coworkers of mine. My day job is at the Children's Museum. Coworkers of mine who have done that and use they, them pronouns. And that does something twofold. A, that makes me feel comfortable in joining their conversation because I'm, you know, the chump who just walked up and started joining the conversation. And B, it publicly and to someone else validates my pronouns. Do you understand? I think that's like, oh, just those little tiny things of saying like, I'm going to validate you publicly and gently and not make a big deal out of it. And then we're all going to move on with the conversation. I love when that happens.
Mm-hmm. I've learned through the project how much it can mean to someone who is non-binary or does not use he or her pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
If you are their friend and there is an introduction to be had, but in a group of people to say, my name is Brent. I use he, him, his pronouns. That's one thing you can do, but to also say, this is my great friend, Merritt.
Mm-hmm.
They use they, them pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that doesn't need to happen.
Sure.
Or we can go the negative route of like, if someone misgenders you, then for me to stick up for you in that time.
Oh, much easier. It's much easier to have someone else do it for me because there's no emotions attached to it when someone else does it. When I do it, well-meaning people get really embarrassed and say, sorry. Oh, I'm such a terrible person. And then I have to do a lot of work to make them feel better about it. And I don't like, I'm over that. I don't have the energy to do that anymore. So if I ever correct you, I'm not mad. I'm just reminding you, and you don't have to apologize.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. It is a lot easier for someone else to do it.
Yeah.
Or even just in the introduction piece, just to say, this is Merritt. I know them from my workplace.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. Yeah. Just little tiny. And maybe they won't even notice it, but over time it'll start to click. It'll start to sink in.
So at the beginning, the first question I try to ask is, would you ever be upset if someone asked you your pronouns? Is there any time? And it's important also for people to understand that, okay, so now we know it's good to ask people their pronouns always.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to question something, that's the time when you should ask.
Mm-hmm.
But then also to give not necessarily credit, but an understanding of people who mistakenly misgender, like if someone corrects you, it doesn't mean, as you're saying right now, it doesn't mean that you have to go into a room and be like, oh my gosh, I messed. Like,
yeah.
Not always. I mean, right. There are times where it really can hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
But most commonly, it's like, it's just like someone saying the wrong name.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Brent, actually.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, I totally.
Yeah.
I should have remembered
that. It's pretty rare that I'm mad at someone who misgenders me. Pretty rare.
Okay. So, you said that you work at the Children's Museum. I didn't know that.
Yes, I do.
I want to give you some space here to say, what you do for work, what you do in general. You can talk about anything here.
Sure. So my day job, as I said, I work at the Children's Museum. I play with kids. I'm also an artist. I'm a filmmaker. And I also founded and run something called Video Variant, which is a film screening series, artist community, and education program that exclusively serves LGBTQIA filmmakers and artists. So that's what I'm working on these days.
I haven't even mentioned that we actually met at Gender Reel.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell me a little bit of what like that night was, but in relation to like how, what we talked about and everything else.
Here. Sure. So when we met, that was before I had started Video Variant and I was going,
I think you were talking about it.
Were talking about it. Yeah. I wanted to go to Gender Reel because I know Joe Ippolito who runs it. And it's a great program.
And Joe's been interviewed for the project. So people can listen to
that. Yeah, that's right.
That
I did see that. Yep. And so I wanted to see kind of how it goes. I go to a lot of just being a filmmaker in the Twin Cities. I do mostly local stuff anyway. I screen my work in local programs. I don't really do out of state or out of country very often. So I go to a lot and I just wanted to see how it would go I really wanted to see what the audience makeup would be like at specifically transgender film program. And it was amazing. The audience makeup was largely trans, and that was really cool just to be in a room full of people who are like me. And then I met you, and I learned that this project was local, which I mentioned earlier. I was so excited to learn that this project was local, and just hearing about all the cool different things that are going on in the Twin Cities really gave me the push to get Video Variant going and start it, because clearly there's a need for it, and there's an audience who's excited to participate.
So if people want to see more of Video Variant, where do they go?
They should go to our Facebook page. They can just search Video Variant on Facebook. If you are an LGBTQ filmmaker and you have made a film, anything, we will show it. That's our mission statement. We want to support you at every level of development. So even if you think, oh my God, I made the worst movie of all time, we're going to show it. Okay, so go to our Facebook page, sign up, submit, come to one of our screenings. We've got a couple of summer things coming up that we haven't strictly scheduled yet, but keep your eyes open. We got cool stuff coming.
What can people do to make the world a better place for trans and non-binary individuals?
I think you can support your friends of color, especially. I think that's really important. It's easy for me to come in here and talk about how hard it is for me to be perceived in a way I don't want to be perceived, but my life is in no danger. Support your friends of color. Keep them safe. Keep your eyes on the police. Stop killing us, I think, is a really good one. And then in your day-to-day life, you know, ask pronouns. Ask people their names. Ask them questions if you have them. And if you're listening to this, please give it a share. Share it around with your friends. If you have someone in your life who you think doesn't understand, listening to these stories is a really easy way to begin to understand.
Yeah, I always try to mention, thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, of course.
I always try to mention the idea that if people are listening to this, it's helping you right now. But if you don't share it, it's not helping someone else.
Right.
If you share it, it gives the opportunity for the project to grow and for people to be given that opportunity to educate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What advice would you have for parents who may have children who are questioning their gender identity?
I look to my mother when I answer this. She really let go of her perceptions of who I was supposed to be. And she joined a lot of Facebook groups, and she joined a support group with some of her friends at church. And she's just talking to people about it. She's just talking about it and processing it out loud with her friends. I know that's another big thing that she's been doing. Because it's okay to be freaked out, I think. It's a kind of a big deal, especially when it's your child. Just talk to people about it. Don't let it fester. That's trouble.
Is there anything else you would like to say to everyone listening?
Thank you for listening. I always appreciate being able to communicate. I'm a very chatty person. I'm a very emotional person. I like to talk about my feelings. So thank you for listening to them. And I hope that if you have any thoughts or feelings or questions, you can come to me. I will answer them. I will honor those feelings.
Well, for the audience, everyone who's listening to this, is there any way that they would contact or follow you and talk to you, whatever you're comfortable sharing there?
Sure. You can.
Everyone prefers phone numbers.
No. Oh, sure. Yeah. you can absolutely feel free to find me on Facebook with my work with Video Variant. I play it pretty fast and loose with who I friend on Facebook now. So even if I don't know you in real life and you want to reach out and talk about what you heard here today or art or film or anything. I'll talk about anything with anybody. Feel free to friend me. That would be great. My name is Merritt Paulzine.
Well, that's all the questions that I have for you, Merritt. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Brent.
And again, if you know Merritt, if you're listening to this now, make sure that you share this project. It's so important that if you are listening to this and it means something to you, just click the button to share the project and tell people why it's important to you and why they should pay attention as well.
Did you know the best place to view the project is through the website, theythemproject.org? It's the only place you can see all the photos and videos and easily share the project to help it be seen and make a difference. In addition to the website, They Them Project is everywhere. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes and Google Play. Remember that the project grows and informs only when it is shared by people like you. Go to theythemproject.org and share what you see and hear.